Yeah, so I've needed glasses for about a decade, and I've been getting them next week for like a decade. But here's the thing, when you need glasses and you don't wear glasses, and then you get glasses, like you can see, but it kind of hurts. It's almost like, and so I was sitting here and I was looking at this and I was like, I don't think I can read my notes with better vision. I'm going to have a headache and have to lay down halfway through my talk. So I'm going to go without them for this morning. So I'm sorry for those that are disappointed by that. I'm going to pray real fast. Jesus, thank you so much for the moms in this room. Thank you so much for the mothers that are of the people in this room. And I ask that the words I have here today and the words of other people that I'm going to be sharing today would be to the purpose of you, God, connecting with us, you, God, leading us, you, God, challenging and working within us, those of us, which is all of us, that need help, that need support, that need comfort and healing, that you would meet us in that, and that in this room here together, we could feel like that is on table for us. Amen. Thank you. So as Vince kind of mentioned already, this is a day that is kind of full of different emotions. As he mentioned, there's positive emotions of joy and celebration, and mothers who rightfully so should be celebrated are not told enough how awesome they are and the work that they do. And almost nobody has as large of an impact on somebody's life than their own mother. And yet, at the same time, it's also a day that can come with a sense of loss. Loss at your own mother, loss at what you wish your mother would have been, or loss of a desire for motherhood in some way. And it's unique that both of those things can live together in some same experience. And that's why I'm thankful that Jesus is dynamic and alive and able to meet each of us uniquely and together as we each have different experiences together here in the same room. I think that's the beauty of a community, is I can experience something different than you, but do it together with you. And my hope is that wherever you're coming from today, that you just experience God, whatever that looks like for you and whatever you're needing here today. So if you're a mother and you need to feel celebrated, hopefully you feel celebrated. And if you walk into today and Mother's Day actually brings a sense of longing or loss, that you feel comfort and hope and more with than you were before you went in this morning. As is frequently the case, often there's lots of tension and conversation, and like there's lots of pictures of using God as Father, the imagery of God as Father in the Bible. It's predominant within church culture. It's the most predominant imagery used for God throughout the Bible. It's a perfectly wonderful picture of who God is. But what is also true, and I think often overlooked, is that there's also lots of examples of imagery of God taking on role of mother throughout the Bible, of that God is with us as a mother is with us. I think of Isaiah 66, verse 13, where God, speaking through Isaiah, says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." And not trying to say that either one of these are things that we have to like ignore or pretend, or that there's anything wrong with God the Father. I think God the Father is a great image, something that's been very helpful to me throughout my whole life. But there's a theologian, his name is Marcus Borg, and he highlights why it's important that we don't just ignore the female images of God in the Bible. That it's important that we identify those images, that we take note of the female images of God throughout the Bible. And I think kind of insightfully notices it's because when we only look at the male images, we kind of miss out on a full picture of who God is. For male images are often associated with power, authority, judgment, domination. And when they're used exclusively, they can often create an image of a punitive God, a God that must be appeased or else. Whereas the female images used throughout the Bible kind of suggest something a little bit different, that God is the one that gives birth to us and all that is. God wills our well-being as a mother wills the well-being of the children of her womb. God is attached to us with a love that is tender and will not let us go. These are all images from the Bible, these different pictures of God relating to us as a mother. And like a mother who sees her children of her womb being threatened or oppressed, God can become fierce. You know, the Catholic thinker Richard Rohr expands on Borg's point when he said, most, no, that, not all, have experienced unconditional love, not through an image of a man, but through the image of their mother. She therefore becomes the basis for many people's eventual God image, presuming it was a good image of God. I am convinced, Rohr says, that many people sour on religion because the God they're presented with is actually less loving than their real life mother or father. For much of the human race, the mother is the one who parts the veil for us. She gives us that experience of grounding, of intimacy, of tenderness, of the safety that most of us hope for from God. That feels true to me. That resonates with my experience of my own mother. It also resonates with my own experience of God. And so to help me flesh this out more, I thought about how we could utilize Mother's Day. How do we use this, and how do we use the voices and experiences of people in this community? And what I did is I reached out to several women in BLV and asked them two things. One, how does your experience as a mother, if you are, help you understand or connect with God? Or how does your relationship with your own mother help you connect with or understand God better? And so as I share these stories with you, I encourage you to think about a positive experience of mothering on your own. You know, if you are a mom, maybe that's an experience of your own children, or for you, an experience of your mother, or perhaps there's a woman in your life who may not have been your mom, but played a maternal role at some point. And I want you to consider how that relationship could actually help you have a fuller picture of who God is and how God desires to connect and care for you. I find that God uses the relationships of our life almost more than anything to help fill in our understanding of who he is. And so today I want you, as we hear stories of this, for you to think about yourself. I just want to warn you before I read these. These were sent to me over the last few weeks, and I literally started to tear up in almost every single story. And so if that happens, I just ask that you bear with me as my emotions may spill over. And so I'll be reading these stories that were sent to me by various people in the community. And so I'll be reading them first person as a man, as you might notice. So you may have to suspend your disbelief in the moment and just hear the beauty of what's being told. So the first woman shares her experience. Being a mom helps me understand God's grace. When I see my child struggle with a task, it reminds me that I love my child so much, despite if that child accomplishes the task correctly or even at all. It makes me contemplate, if that's what my human heart thinks, God must have even more grace with me than I have for my own child. That's cool to think about. Another woman wrote, if my mom had grown up in America, she could have been Jackie Kennedy. Poised, graceful, compassionate, and rocking some mean two-piece suits. Growing up, my mom, Pyohee, or known as Penny to her American friends, constantly reminded me to be a lady. Anyone who knows me would testify to the fact that there are many ways to describe me, but that probably would not make the list. She would chide me to do my hair and makeup in spite of the fact that I thought I had already done so. Beyond grooming habits, she installed the best life lessons in me. Managing money was distilled down to three tenets. One, there will never be enough. Two, be stingy with yourself. And three, always be generous with your friends. Frugality was a value in my home, one I internalized so much. She once told me that she grew up during the Korean War, but why was I so cheap? She was a constant arbiter between my dad and myself, the peacekeeper. She taught me the art of living, humility, gentlety, affirmation, honesty, grit, and compassion towards others, whose lives I didn't necessarily know, but could learn so much from. My mom is my life coach, friend, conspirator, and role model. She's always taught me about the richness of life, the very many hats we can wear, the impact we can all have on each other, even through the smallest of gestures. And I have seen her through different eyes as I have grown older, as a mom, friend, wife, and now grandmother. Despite the fact that she has many chronic pains, accompanied with a rapidly fading memory, she'll sing happy birthday to my son any day of the year. She puts on a smile and dances with him, though she can barely climb stairs. She can no longer cook or clean or drive, but she'll ask me daily what he ate and where we store his piggy bank. I take all this in and am in wonder of the true circle of life, how God intends all this so that I may be blessed with the richness of others, to be nurtured and then learn how to nurture in return, all through his love, which is tirelessly enduring and grows our family tree. Then we have another story, and she writes, experiencing my mother's unconditional love on a human level has helped me touch the divine's felt unconditional love. My mother could be smothering at times, but in the best way. From feeling the compassion in the dark night of the soul, I would feel the whisper of comfort from God, similar to that of my mother empathizing and witnessing me. I feel very grateful for my mother and all she has done to support me invisibly and visibly through my self-expression and work of service. Being an immigrant kid and having my mom show us how to be proud of our roots, not by telling us, but embodying that self-love, modeling that for my brother and I was crucial in the constant self-love and compassion that we have to give ourselves every day for being simple human beings that make mistakes. I still learn so much from her. Very grateful. You know, as I mentioned in the beginning, and Vince did, Mother's Day is not always a day of celebration. For some, it can be a day of mourning. And I was thankful to have a mother of adult children share about some of the hard experiences of motherhood she's feeling. She says, I held off on sending this because I'm in a pretty dark place regarding mothering at this point. It feels like a dark night period. I'm mourning the loss of my family being together and connected. I know this is perfectly normal, but still hard. I miss having my kids in the same state. I miss having them share the everyday little things that they now share with their spouses and boyfriend. I miss just hanging out with them. For me, mothering was my main job. I did go back to work when my daughter started school, but it was secondary. So now I'm trying to figure out who I am at this time in my life. It feels very much like those times God turns his face away. The years when our children are young go so quickly, but the days seem long in the moment. The days are often hard and frustrating. This is true for fathers too. Those are the days that I remember as a blur at the time because they pass so quickly. But I also keenly remember the struggles of raising these little gifts to the light. We do the best we can, and God's grace is there much of the time. But when there's sickness or rebellion and you're tired, the dark night is there as well. So I don't have any answers, only struggle. And I suppose that anything worth doing is worth the pain. That is life. You take the pain and the joy that is there as well. So I cherish the limited times we have together, and I try to make the most of them. Then we have another woman share. I've always thought that God couldn't really be anything but a mother, really. Growing up Catholic, we talked about Mary a lot and prayed the rosary a lot. I used to think that the Hail Mary was the most surefire way to get an answered prayer. Not only are the numbers in your favor, 10-to-1 ratio of Hail Marys to Our Fathers, but you're talking to God's mom. She can handle anything. The image of Mary always struck me as the real, quote-unquote, part of the Bible. Here was a woman who, yes, had free will, felt pain, and had missteps, but gave of her own body and soul to a child who gave of his own body and soul to the world. That was something I could relate to because I saw and continue to see her sacrifice, joy, and profound love reflected in so many women in my life. Just take a moment, as somebody who grew up Protestant, I feel like I have a lot to learn from my Catholic friends and what we can learn from Mary. But she continues, God as mother is the imagery that feels truest to my experience of feeling God. My mother and my friends, who are mothers, somehow find the way to pair fierce advocacy and unbridled strength with patient, listening hearts full of unconditional acceptance. I remember a conversation I had with my mom in high school after something that had happened in the news, and it ended with my mom saying, there is nothing in this world that you could do or that could happen that would make me stop loving you. The only reason I'd ever kick you out is if I was enabling you to live a life that hurts you and others, but you would still be mine, and I would still be your mother. What my 15-year-old self said was, good to know. But what I really thought was, wow, I am truly blessed. My mother lives the spirit of what feels true to me as God. In whatever she does, she shows up. And she shows up with an open mind and a heart full of staunch, stubborn love. And then another woman writes, being a mom has helped me understand God in a bigger way than I did before we had the girls. One specific example happened very recently. It was one of those moments that if someone asked me when I was the happiest, that memory would have been the answer. We were sitting in our backyard having a picnic dinner. Toward the end, the girls were running around, one daughter chasing the other, trying to get her angel food cake. We were all laughing, and there was nothing else going on except for that moment. I was present, totally there. I saw in that God's reminder that all we have is right now, and right now is fleeting, so enjoy it. And it reminded me to be so grateful. It's easy for me to seek God during the times of struggle, but he's there in all the joy too. That's been important for me to learn and remember. And then another writes, my mother and grandma have been my role models for faith. It wasn't until I got older that I realized and appreciated what they've done for me in my relationship with God. My mom protected us from bad faith, which ultimately led us to not attending church regularly growing up. She continued with nightly prayer, Our Father, as our routine before bedtime. To this day, I still discuss faith with my mom openly. We question things that don't sit right in our hearts. My grandma was God's BFF and number one fan. She went to church every Sunday and would talk to us about the different angels. I knew some basics of the Bible from visits with her. So when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I got angry with God. Why would he allow this to his best friend? It was a very dark time for me. When she passed away, I was distraught. I remember being back at school in my dorm room, surrounded by my roommate and neighbors consoling me, but my mind wasn't focused on them. I remember this event in third person for some reason. I see myself sitting on the floor, allowing the darkness to fill me. And it almost completely did. And that's when the warmest feeling hit my back. It pushed the darkness out. I have no hesitation in believing that my grandma restored my faith. She gave me hers that night. She was okay, healthy, and smiling on all of us, and took that darkness away with a little help from Jesus. These women, strong in their own right, gave strength to their families through the faith and example of God's love. And then finally, we have a woman who begins by quoting Ephesians 4:2. Be humble, be always humble, gentle, patient. Show your love by being tolerant of one another. My experience as a mother has taught me quite a bit of patience. My daughter is only a year old and needs quite a bit of help and love. As a mother, I'm able to provide for all of her needs, just like God provides for the needs of his children. Taking care of someone constantly requires strength, love, courage, determination, and patience. My relationship with my daughter is very similar to God's relationship with me. I am his daughter, and he will love me unconditionally. He will provide for all of my needs. He will do this patiently, abundantly, and gently. Because God loves me like this, I'm able to show my daughter the same kind of love and patience. Just want to take a moment there and thank all the women here that shared a story. This is a round of applause, if you would. It really, really felt like a privilege to get these stories. And I just really thank you for taking the time to do that. I think it blessed all of us as a community. You know, one thing that I took out of all of the stories as I was reading them, looking through the image of motherhood, it helped me feel like Jesus was like really close, like there with me. Like each of those stories in their own way was real and heartbreaking and honest. And in the midst of all of it, it just blows me away how close it feels to see God through the imagery of mother. Not just some far off distant thing, but here with us, in our struggles, in our joys, loving, persistent, and perhaps my favorite imagery, fierce. Now, for some of us, and you know, this is true for me, God as Father may resonate and connect with us, seeing God in maybe the more affectionate term, Abba, like the daddy. You know, it gives us a good picture of who God is right here now. Somebody loving, caring, providing. He's not going to leave us on our own. That's been my image through my whole life, and it's been really helpful. It hasn't been hurtful to me. But if you've had mixed or bad experiences with a father figure in your life, and that's the only image we're given to understand our relationship with God, it can be unsettling. That God might be unsafe in some way, or mean, or distant. I think that's why it's powerful that both male and female are made in God's image. He is not one gender or the other. He is seen in all of us, man and woman, and everywhere in between. So if it's helpful for you to pray to God the mother or to relate to God as mother, go for it. You're not like betraying God. You're not offending his masculinity. It just doesn't happen to God. That's like a uniquely broken human thing. God just wants to connect with you regardless of what imagery helps. Because that's all it is, imagery. Father, mother, lamb, lion, shepherd, bread, light, rock, shield, refuge, doctor. All of it is just to help us understand something beyond our understanding. Help us understand the God of the universe wants to be with us. The God of the universe is there for us to heal, to protect, to care. And so, if that's helpful for you, I believe that God is more than happy to receive that. And on Mother's Day, I do, in a moment here, want to pray a special blessing on all the moms in the room. And I'd also like to pray that God would be with us here today, as a mother is with a child. Close, steadfast, and fierce in love for us. And so if you'd like to do that, if you guys would just stand with me, all of you, and then I'm going to start off by praying for the mothers, and then we're going to go into a prayer for everybody. Well, Jesus, for any mother that's in this room, we thank you. We thank you for the work they do and the work they have done. That the earliest images that we have of a God who loves us comes from them. And we just bless the work that they do. I pray for a sense of being seen. Go back to one of the stories, that sense of witnessing me. That the mothers in this room would feel witnessed when they do the things that are maybe not thanked. When they struggle with trying their best and hoping it's the right choice. And we as a community just say, help us be a support to them. Help us not oversee the ways that we can encourage and come alongside and love and offer a community of grace and understanding and care with each other. And I just ask that you would really show yourself in the relationship they have with their children. To use the analogy of how they care for their child to give them a glimpse of how you care for them. And now for all of us here, Jesus, I ask that you would feel close to us in a way that a mother can. And if that's helpful imagery for somebody, I just ask for permission to hold on to it. That you would feel that same balance of strong, patient, resilient, caring, ready to listen, that fierceness. And I just ask that you would also be with any of us here today experiencing sadness. Sadness over the loss of our own mothers. Sadness over disappointments in our own relationships with our human mothers. Or sadness as mothers, as the one story shared of the dark periods of human relationship. I ask God that you would bring comfort, healing, consolation, hope. And if you just want to stay standing with us, we're going to transition now into a time of singing and prayer. And as they're doing this, we just invite you to engage in whatever way feels best to you. Whether it's standing and clapping and dancing, go for it. Or if you want to sit back and let the music hit you, that is totally fine as well.